Psalm 23. You know, one of the greatest blessings of a wife is that she tells you just what you're not able to do. And after 15 minutes of trying to get out of a driveway, my wife has the wisdom to tell me, Ryan, you're not going to make it. So I appreciate the Kimballs giving us a good ride here and appreciate and are thankful for everyone's safety this morning. What we're going to do today is, of course, talk about the eldership. And let me give you all a forecast of where we're going. So what we're going to do for about the next 30, 35 minutes is talk about the purpose of elders. So we're going to ask two main questions. First of all, what is an elder? And second, what is the purpose of elders? Then in the second hour this morning, we're going to talk about the relationship of elders. So what is the relationship of elders to the congregation, to God, etc.? And then this evening, Lord willing, what we're going to talk about is the qualifications of elders. So what are the overall qualifications we need to look at? But let's begin in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is, of course, one of the most well-known psalms within our day. But the wording that David uses at the beginning here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He takes this idea of a shepherd and then teases it out through the rest of the psalm. And you get this image in your mind that the shepherd makes the sheep lie down in the green pastures. He leads the sheep by the waters. He restores his soul. His rod and his staff, they comfort the sheep. What David essentially, of course, is saying here is, I'm the sheep, you're the shepherd, guide me, O God. The first thing I want us to keep in mind as we go throughout the lessons this day is that the eldership or the shepherds are ultimately patterned after God. This is a point I don't want us to forget. God is the chief shepherd. God is the ultimate shepherd. God is the shepherd of our souls. And as we go about a process of appointing new elders, ultimately what we're doing is appointing men patterned after God to shepherd souls. I'm afraid too often whenever I hear the concept of elders talk about, not just here but just in general, that we think of elders in perhaps a less spiritual nature than the office really is. But ultimately, shepherds are patterned after God, and that's what it is. Well, now let's talk about what is an elder. Whenever you look at the New Testament, there's three main words that are used for an elder. There is an elder, there's an overseer, and there's a shepherd. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 is a verse we're going to spend more time in next hour. But you'll notice all three of these terms are used here and in Acts chapter 20. So both Acts chapter 20 and Acts 28, these three terms are used interchangeably. So 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you, you know, the elders, as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. That word there is the overseer. So whenever we talk about elders, what we're ultimately talking about is three main ideas. We're talking about the elder, we're talking about the overseer, and we're talking about the shepherd. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to go into a bit more depth with these terms. What does it mean for a man to be an elder, a shepherd, an overseer? It's the same office, it's the same charge, but three different ideas. As I use that term, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Whenever we look at the concept of an elder, a shepherd, or an overseer, it is a specific office that is within the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, we need to recognize, y'all, we are talking about a specific office. Now, whenever we look at this term office here, I think a way that perhaps would illustrate it in a bit better of a concept is a charge. It is the charge of being an elder. In the aspect of you have a duty, a responsibility, it's a specific charge. Now, this isn't, you know, some hierarchical organizational structure that we have within the church. We don't make this great, you know, organizational hierarchy with a CEO who are the elders and then a CFO who's the treasurer, etc. We have God's order. We have a charge given from God. And this charge, as I've said, is explained in three ways. It's the elder, it's the overseer, and it's the shepherd. Let's start with the elder. What does it mean for a man to be an elder? Go with me back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. The concept of elders are from pretty much the very beginning of the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. Here it is said, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, to the Hittites, to the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And the elders will listen to your voice, and they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him," etc. The elders were central to Old Testament history. Whenever we look at this term elder in the New Testament, this isn't a new term or a new office that God created just for the New Testament church. It's rooted in Old Testament history. We could go through multiple other examples and look at this. You can look at Numbers chapter 20. You can look at Jeremiah 20, Ezekiel 34, etc. The elders had a prominent position within Old Testament Israel. Now, who was an elder? Within the context of the Old Testament, an elder was an old man who led his family. That's who an elder was. And so within this example here from Exodus 3, these were the old family leaders, men, who helped Moses as he went to the king and who helped Moses and helped lead the people. So the elder is not a new term. Now, when we get to the New Testament, the term elder is used in multiple different ways. It is used, first of all, of this Old Testament sense of family leaders. It's used of the 24 elders in Revelation, a different concept. It's used of the elders who are the associates of the scribes and priests. It's used of just general old men. And so when you look at all the different uses of this term in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it may seem from a certain perspective that there's nothing real special about being an elder, right? That just any man who gets old can be an elder. So, you know, Jeff, whenever you turned, are you 65 now? Makes you an elder, right? You're just old. So any old man is an elder. Well, I don't think that's the picture the New Testament gives us. Go with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And let's look at verse 23. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So this is a specific office, a specific charge, a specific appointment. There are some, and I don't know, I'm not saying here, but there are some in our world today who think the term elder just refers to any old man. So any old man who becomes old gets to be an elder. That's not the picture of the New Testament. It's an office patterned after the Old Testament Israel for the New Testament church. Well, we know it's a specific office, but then that begs the question, what's the responsibility of an elder, right? I mean, elder, it connotes this idea of an older person, but what's an elder to do? Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Y'all will notice, I am flipping around a whole lot more than normal. Y'all know I typically stay rooted in one or two texts. To get the full concept of the purpose of elders, we have to go to many places in the New Testament. So we are going to be going to quite a few passages today. 1 Timothy 5:17, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." What then is an elder? Essentially, an elder is an older man who leads. So what do we learn from this aspect of elder? It's the leader of the church. Now, we see this played throughout the book of Acts. You can go through the book of Acts multiple occasions. The elders were the leaders. One example, when you get to Acts 15 with the Council of Jerusalem, there you have a problem that arises amongst the Gentiles, the Jews. Who helps to figure out this problem? The apostles and the elders. The elders were central to this process. So you see that in verses 4 and 6 of chapter 15. But then as you go down to verses 22 and 23, you then see that the elders were the ones who helped spread this news throughout the church and helped to get this word out. The elders were central. They were the leaders. So whenever we look at the concept of an elder, in summary, what's an elder? An elder is an appointed older man who leads. That's what it is. Now, let's ask this question real quick. What does it mean to be older? What's the cutoff line? We're going to talk about that a bit more tonight whenever we get to qualifications. But let's hold that for a second, all right? What we need to understand so far is this. An elder is an older man who leads God's people. Now, let's get to the second term. An overseer. What is an overseer? Go with me to 1 Peter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter 2, 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd, and note this term, the overseer of your souls. Who's the chief shepherd? Who's the chief overseer? It's Christ. Now, I claimed earlier, whenever we look at the term elder, when we look at this concept, we have to remember this is patterned after God and this is patterned after Christ. The office or the charge of an elder in the church ultimately is patterned after Jesus Christ. Now, while Christ is the chief shepherd and the chief overseer, we within local churches have men who likewise do the work of overseeing, the work of oversight. Well, what are they overseeing? The overseer of your souls. Go with me to Hebrews 13. We're going to see a similar concept here in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, is those who will have to give an account. Now, I want to stop here just for one second. To the men in this congregation who aspire to the office, let me talk to you specifically for a minute. I want you to understand the magnitude of this office. I am afraid that in too many conversations I've had, not here, but just in general in the church, that Christians today have begun to think of elders as what I would call the logistical leaders. So the elders get together the work list, they put together the gospel meetings, they get the bills paid, they get everything running smoothly, and really the purpose of an elder is to keep things running smoothly. Essentially what they do is they just manage the logistics of a congregation. That's not the work of an elder. That's not the work of an overseer. That's not the work of a shepherd. The work of an overseer, ultimately, is that you're keeping watch over your flock's souls as ones who would have to give an account. This is a serious charge. It's a serious office. It's not about just getting the bills paid. It's not about getting gospel meetings lined up, about getting the work list out. Those may be part of it. But the ultimate and the true work of a shepherd is the overseeing of souls. Please understand the magnitude of this office. It's not one to be taken lightly because you're going to have to do it as people who are going to have to give an account. Now, to us as a congregation, what we have to understand is we are asking for oversight. We're asking for people to oversee our souls. There are many congregations who just don't want overseers because they don't want people to oversee what they're doing. They want to do what they want to do. They want to, you know, have their own lives. No one needs to get in their business. Let them be here three times a week and they can leave. No one tells them what to do. And then you perhaps have these men who get the work list together. A true overseer, what we're asking for is we're asking for people to help oversee our souls. And whenever we go about this, we need to take this very seriously. Who are men that you would trust your souls with? Who has enough trust that you're going to entrust the spiritual oversight of your souls to? It's a serious, serious process. Now, a couple other thoughts with the overseer. This is the same term that we're not going to turn there, but in Philippians 1:1, the overseers and deacons at Philippi, you always see that overseers is always in the plurality, as is the shepherds and the elders. Whenever we go about looking in the New Testament, there's always this plurality of elders or overseers. And it's a pattern I think we do need to follow as well. One final note with overseers. I urge us to not forget this is patterned after Christ. Christ oversaw souls. He healed people. He did physical work. He did miracles. But ultimately, Christ oversaw souls. And Christ was willing to give his own life for the overseeing of souls. Let us not forget that what we are ultimately doing is we are appointing men who are going to oversee souls. Third term. The final term used in the New Testament is shepherd. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For, we've read this before, but for you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This term, shepherd, it's used in a again, similar concept to overseer, but I think there's a bit different of a connotation we need to understand. If I could express it another way, I would say a shepherd is a type of overseer. So overseer perhaps is a more broad or abstract word, and then a shepherd's a type of overseer. But going back to this concept from Psalm 23, God ultimately is the chief shepherd. God is the one who shepherds our souls. Christ then is the one who shepherds. Elders then are ones who shepherd souls. If you look back in chapter 5, the same term is used. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Well, what is meant by this concept of shepherding? What's meant of this concept of shepherding? I want us to look at Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 points for us within the Old Testament a little bit of what was involved here. Ezekiel chapter 34. Let's begin in verse 2. We're going to read just a few verses here. Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, all shepherds of Israel, who would be feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, you do not feed the sheep. The weak have not been strengthened, the sick have not been healed, the injured have not been bound up, the strayed have not been brought back, the lost have not been sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beast. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Now, in Old Testament Israel, the shepherds failed, and that was one of the reasons then the people were cast into captivity. But I think from this verse as well, we can see a little bit of what was involved in these shepherds. We begin in verse 2. It says to the shepherds, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? What does a shepherd do? A shepherd feeds the sheep. Sheep, from what I've been told, are fairly dumb animals. And without a shepherd to guide them, a shepherd to lead them, they're not going to survive together as a flock. They're going to go off on their own. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be able to have a great confusion amongst them. It's only whenever you have a shepherd who binds them together, who leads them together as a flock, do they become it. So one of the aspects that we learn from a shepherd is a shepherd feeds. Now, we're not going to turn there, from Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 12, the way a shepherd does this is through teaching the word of God. The way a shepherd feeds is by giving instruction in God's word, by feeding with the bread of life, allowing the bread of life and the living water to feed and give us sustenance from Christ. But we also see later in here, verse 4, the weak have not been strengthened, the sick have not been healed, the injured have not been bound up. What's an elder to do? To take the weak and to strengthen them. Now again, you men who desire this office, please understand what this means. This doesn't mean that you're just around for the good times. This means that you're around for the absolute worst times in people's lives. This means that whenever you have people who are weak, who are struggling, who are suffering, who are in need of assistance, who are in need of help, you're there to mourn with those who mourn. You're there to help those who need help. You're there to lift up those who have fallen. That's what a shepherd does. And finally here, the lost have not been sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. So what does a shepherd do? A shepherd keeps the flock together, keeps them together. Now, many of the lessons from Ezekiel 34 are very applicable to shepherds in the New Testament. This concept of feeding, of guiding, of leading. There's an excellent book that I would recommend called They Smell Like Sheep. And essentially what this author does is he looks at actual shepherds and sees what makes a good shepherd and then how does this apply spiritually. And one of the main points of the book is this. The best actual shepherds, physical shepherds, what they do is they get amongst the sheep so that then they smell like sheep. A shepherd doesn't, you know, go before them. He doesn't go behind them. He's amongst the sheep. And that likewise, I think, is in many ways true of God's shepherds as well. God's shepherds smell like sheep. They're amongst the sheep. They give guidance. They rule. They give leadership. They give oversight. But it's by being amongst them and leading them and guiding them and helping them and nourishing them and giving them sustenance. That's the work of a shepherd. And I would make a brief distinction. Shepherds are not cowboys. So whenever you think of a cowboy who's herding, a cowboy, you know, goes and herds the cattle. So whatever's necessary, he herds them. He gets up on a horse. He's not on a cow. Gets up on a horse and he herds the cattle. That's not what a shepherd does. A shepherd's on his feet, not riding a sheep, not riding a horse, but he's with the sheep. The New Testament calls that we as God's people need shepherds. We don't need cowboys. And that's ultimately what God is asking for. Now, one side note with this. In a way, isn't this what all Christians are supposed to be doing? Aren't all Christians supposed to be guiding others? Aren't all Christians supposed to be helping others? Aren't all Christians supposed to, in some way, be overseeing our souls? I mean, if I, for example, see that Brother Al is really struggling and that he's in need of help, does the New Testament paint the picture that it's just for the shepherds to help? It's just for the shepherds to feed? It's just for the shepherds to be there? Of course not. So what then is the distinction? What's the distinction between the sheep and the shepherd? What's the difference between those who are oversaw and those giving the oversight? What's the difference between the elders and the congregation? I think, and the claim I would make here is this. The difference is not in the work that they do, but it's in the magnitude of the work. Now, we're going to talk about the authority of elders in the next hour, but let me just make this one thought. All of us need to be helping out our brethren. All of us need to be helping to feed others. All of us need to be good sheep who are helping out our fellow sheep. But what we're appointing elders is, we are appointing men who we can say, I trust you to lead me. I trust you to guide me. I am okay deferring to your spiritual judgment because I trust you. Most sheep don't get to help select their shepherds. God has given his sheep the responsibility, I'm not going to say just the right, but the responsibility to help select the shepherds, to help choose men who will lead us, who will guide us, who will feed us. So the difference between the shepherd and the sheep in our case, it's not just the work that they do, but I would say it's the magnitude of the work. All right, so let's take this all together. The first question I asked was, at the very beginning of this lesson, what is an elder? I think there's three main things that we see here. First, from the concept of an elder, what we see is an elder is one who leads. An elder is an older man who leads or who guides. Second, from the concept of an overseer, an elder is one who gives oversight, who oversees souls. The third concept from the shepherd then, or the elder, is the one who gives sustenance, the one who feeds, the one who protects, the one who leads the sheep. That's what an elder is. It is, in summary, an older man who leads God's people and gives them guidance and oversees souls. Well, what then is the purpose? I mean, whenever you try to ask them the question, well, Ryan, why do we need elders? I mean, why do we need elders? There's a congregation that I'm very familiar with, having family in it for a long time, who just don't want elders. And many of the men will tell you that. And the argument goes something like this: Ryan, we have been around for 50 years and we're doing just fine. Why in the world do we need elders? We're doing okay. Why are we going to put certain men here up on their high horse where they can tell us what to do, where they can make the decisions, where, you know, they can do whatever they want, and then we just have to follow? Why do we even need that? Well, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of elders? Go with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians. Turn with me then to chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. So what's the purpose of elders? I would say from this verse, we can understand the purpose of elders to be threefold. So first, elders are the ones who labor among us. Second, elders are the ones who are over or who rule over us. Third, elders are ones who admonish us. Now, I really think this verse does an excellent job of summarizing what the overall purpose of elders is. Again, it's threefold. Elders are ones who labor among us, they are ones who rule over us, and they are ones who admonish us. That's the work of elders. Now, we'll get to verse 13 in a second, but let's go up and let's ask the question. Why do we need elders? What's the purpose of them? Well, the purpose, as I said, is threefold. Those who labor among us, who rule over us and admonish us. Second question then, why do we need elders? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this question just for this simple answer. God in his infinite wisdom has recognized and has told us that a church works better with elders than without them. We need to trust God's judgment in this. God has recognized that a church with good qualified elders is going to function according to his will better than one that's not going to. And for those of us who have ever had to be in churches without elders and have sat through the torture of business meetings, many of us understand this. Congregations lack any level of leadership. They lack any level of true labor. And ultimately then they lack any level of true admonition or instruction. Because who's going to give it? I mean, if you take, for example, any of these three concepts, those who labor among us, those who rule over us, and those who admonish us, without appointed elders, it's really lacking within a congregation. The purpose of elders, we're asking for people who can help lead us. We recognize we want to move forward. We want to do what God has told us to do. We want to be able to do his will. We want to be able to follow. In Spanish, we would say, seguir adelante, right? We want to be able to have this idea. Elders are the ones who lead us through this. They shepherd us through this. They oversee us. But also, we recognize we need people who can rule over us. I will recognize my own lacking. I'm 25 years old. I'm still really young, especially for a preacher. I need guidance. I need someone to oversee me. I need someone to shepherd me. I don't have a great deal of spiritual experience that some of the men here do. I recognize my own lackings, my own failings, and that's why I'm asking for a shepherd. I'm asking for a leader. I'm asking for someone who can help rule over me. I have sins that I still struggle with. I have weaknesses. I have times that I just need someone who can help instruct and admonish and lead me. And that's why, brethren, we need elders. The ultimate reason, then, I would say, the reason that we need elders, I would urge us to recognize it's ultimately because we need people who are going to help oversee our souls, who's going to help us to get to heaven. I will say from my own experience, when I'm in congregation with a man, or with men, rather, who help oversee me in a special way, who help guide my soul, who love me, who know me, who shepherd me, my spiritual growth is so much in comparison into times without it. Because I receive the admonishing, the instruction, the guidance, the leadership to build up and to feed my soul. So, what then do we get from all this? What do we get from all of this? The concept of elders, when we look at the New Testament, is one I think that is clear within God's people. It's one that He wants, it's one that God desires. And it's one that is repeated many times throughout the New Testament. I will tell y'all, I did not recognize how many times you see elders in the book of Acts until I started this study. I would urge you sometime, if you don't think we still need elders, go through the book of Acts and look how many times the elders are involved in the book of Acts. It blew me away. I mean, I knew that they were kind of involved in Acts 15. I didn't know how central they were. But then there are multiple other occasions that elders are involved in the book of Acts. So the book that gives us more narrative than any others, the elders are right there in the middle of it. And they are the ones who are just as involved as the apostles, just as involved as the preachers. And they're the ones who are doing it. So let me then summarize all things together. What then is an elder? I would say this in a concise summary. Elders are proven Christian men who oversee our souls through spiritual guidance, leadership, and admonition. That's what an elder is. Now, I would urge us, y'all, as a congregation, let us recognize whenever we're asking for elders, we're asking for leadership, we're asking for guidance, we're asking for someone to help feed us, we're asking for people, we're asking for men who we trust, who we love, and it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, that we're to esteem them highly in love because of their work. If we're not ready to receive admonition, if we're not ready to receive guidance, if we're not ready to receive leadership, we're not ready for elders. I am. I recognize I need this help. And I think this congregation would be stronger with more elders. It would be able to have more spiritual growth with more elders. Andy and Bob, I think, would agree completely. That's why they're asking for this. They recognize this congregation needs more elders. It needs more Christian men, older men, wise men, shepherds, overseers to oversee our souls. If you will, let's close in a word of prayer. Our holy God in heaven, we thank you for this time that we've had together. God, we thank you for giving to us safety this morning on our way here, and we pray that you be with those not of our number, that you keep them safe as they're not able to make it. Our Lord, we pray you be with this congregation as we go about this selection process. Lord, help us to have love, help us to have respect, help us, God, to have the qualities of Christ that you would have us to be. And Lord, we pray for the men who desire this office, who desire this charge, who want to pattern their lives after the chief shepherd, the chief overseer. Help them, God, to have a mindset that is patterned after your word. Help them desire the office because they desire to serve you, because they love you, and because they love your people. Lord, we pray that you help us throughout this to do it according to your will. Help us to do all things according to your word, and help us to do all things out of good motivations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now be dismissed for